He is Robin Leach. He is Jay DeMarkin. This is Car Keys.
Good morning to our listeners on this wonderful time we have going on around the world and our country. The automotive industry is part of the this whole situation, and I just thought I'd give our listeners some thoughts about the good things about the situation going on around the world as it related to driving, which is my favorite topic usually on many of these shows, which is gas prices. And I have a pretty good fix on the gas prices for the state of Connecticut as of this show's time. And they range from $1.799 to as high as $2.899, still in some parts of Connecticut.
Where there are more cases, or where
no, it has nothing to do with where the cases are.
I'm teasing.
I think it has a lot to do with the sections where the prices are generally higher and lower.
So where is the $2.89?
But the high prices are in Fairfield County,
right?
Many places.
And by the way, in Westport, they just happen to have a bunch of cases, a bunch more cases. So I was just
Well, that has nothing to do with it.
No, I understand.
Norwalk is down there in Fairfield County, and it has a $2.29 gas price. Whereas many of the stations are in the 250s to 260s.
Have you been into New York State?
But up here in the Northwest Connecticut corner, they are as low as $1.99 for the majors, and the major includes Citgo Gas in Tarrington. But that's the only one below $2 in Tarrington that I saw as of this broadcast show time.
Well, also the local one here is coming. It's fun to watch it fall. Question, though. Have you been into New York State? Have you been into Massachusetts?
I've been down Route 22 corridor, and they are between 242, not much lower as of this last weekend, along the 242 corridor before you go swing over into Connecticut. There are some at 253. 259, and some of the stations in New York have the cash and the credit situation, which there is a 10 cents, where there's a 10 cents variation, which has been common for a long time at many stations in many parts of both Connecticut and New York. But the buying club, the wholesale clubs, are where the cheapest gas can be found, and that is where the $1.79 price as of the weekend. At one, or $1.75, excuse me, price at, over the weekend was available. And New Milford, which is also a very good, generally low price corridor along Route 7 there, is ranging between just over $2 a gallon to, I think there was one at below $2 a gallon. So they were still up in the 224 range and down, as opposed to the lowest one in Tarrington, which was $1.99 as of this morning. And that's good news for drivers. Now, Jay would like to chime in and say, well, nobody's driving, so what good is that?
Oh, but people are driving because...
They are indeed, and I will tell you the traffic going to Tarrington this morning, where I've already been, and coming back was almost what I would call normal between the Sharon, Connecticut, New York line.
Well, we haven't shut... Connecticut doesn't shut down till this evening.
True.
And B, what people don't focus on is critical infrastructure and the various different businesses that do stay open. So you're going to see a lot of traffic.
Well, that's probably true because people are going to be trying to stock up before they are shut down.
No, it's not that.
The critical areas, although most of the critical stores that are necessary for getting staples, including paper towels and the like, are going to be exempt from the closed shutdown situation.
Right.
Well,
as is
I do think there is less traffic. I mean, I was surprised.
There is less traffic, regardless of the shutdown
traffic,
not
right?
being effective.
If we are to stay home, whether forced to or not, we should, there should be less people on the road. Yes, there's going to be some critical traffic, and supplies do need to move. And in these times of rushing to stores for, you know, food and other sanitizing supplies, if none other, You know, there are a lot of trucks out there and a lot of people who are there not by choice, but who are working. But back to the gas pumps, I just want to point out just a little obvious to many of us, but a little safety and hygiene tip. You know, those metal pumps are as well as the keypads for credit cards and debit cards, are an excellent transmission mode for this COVID-19 virus.
So, yeah, and people should definitely wear gloves when you touch them, wash your hands afterwards.
You know, and throw those gloves away and sanitize, you know.
Okay. I'd like to talk about the automotive industry, not about the stuff that you can hear on the daily news about all that stuff. Although I will say in the automotive situation, I took a car in for service, and all those processes are being adhered to assiduously, okay? And I don't think we need to go through the rundown of what they're doing, except that it is on the news about what we're supposed to do. I'd like to talk about the car industry, which is what this show's about. And, Jay, you have some things to talk about, apparently. You sent in a list, so why don't you start doing that?
Well, I think we know for a fact the auto industry has come to a grinding halt. Production lines are being stopped around the globe. They had been in China, and we should have seen this coming. As you know, a couple of months ago we were talking about the auto industry situation in China and the fact that factories were shutting down there. In the meantime, factories have shut down, obviously, in Italy, where this virus has been the most deadly, and this affects Fiat Chrysler, FCA for sure, as a lot of the cars that are manufactured here have parts that originated in Italy. Here in the States, Ford and GM have closed their factories. Mercedes is still up, as of Friday, was still up and running, but they're going to be running out of parts and supplies soon, if they haven't already. So no more car production. New models are being postponed. The Ford Bronco, for one, is put on hold. You know, I know it's a marginal product, but the Chevrolet Corvette has been put on hold as well. And we're not going to see a lot of new product, if any at all. And inventories are going to start building. Because I think that, you know, dealerships are going to have a hard problem operating in the foreseeable future. So on that level, I know of one dealer in New York State, fairly close by, but who's got two stores, a Toyota store and a Subaru store, and between the two he's got 160 employees, and as of late last week, he can only have 25% of his workforce on his properties. So, you know, he has to reorganize the way that his two dealerships are operating. And you know, it's a challenge.
Well, I think that's all very well said. I was at a Jeep Dodge General Motors dealer this morning early, and I will tell you that I got there before the place was opening up. There were no sales staff. They don't usually come in until 9 o'clock anyway, so that helps with the 25% limitation if there's such a thing going to go into effect in Connecticut. But as I left with my loaner car, and maybe I'll report on that a little later, the service department was abuzz with service technicians showing up to do servicing on cars. And this dealership also has posted online that they will pick up and drop off any cars of customers of theirs within 25-mile range. I'm outside that 25-mile range, so I couldn't avail myself of that opportunity. So I drove my vehicle down. I went into the service department. They stood 6 feet away from me. I had to. They sanitized my car keys. My car when I arrived and put it in a plastic bag. They told me to stay away while they filled out the paperwork for the loaner, and I came and signed it, and they stood 6 feet away from me. And they are sanitizing all their loaner cars, and they're going to be sanitizing all the customer cars as well, whatever that means, by the time I come back to pick up the car being serviced. So that's going to be the norm at all the dealerships. And that will tell you that there's lots of just frustration with the detail aspect. They've got boxes of rubber gloves available for customers, and they are, and their service people, the service writers are wearing them, and they're taking them off and throwing them out and putting on another set after they've touched. I mean, there's a lot of waste going on here, but it is part of the new way we have to deal with this kind of situation. And as everybody probably knows, I think sales are going to be way down regardless of the inventory situation. I can tell you that the inventory at the Jeep dealership is plentiful, even as the manufacturers shut down their assembly lines. I suspect it's the same.
But wasn't that going to be an issue anyway?
What's going to be an issue? The issue with the sales is going to be because of people's incomes
right.
being very, very much affected by this, and they're not going to go out and spend money needlessly on needless items.
Well, presumably. We know that, you know, in my opinion, 2020 was going to be a doom and gloom year for
we know, yeah.
Right,
anyway.
So now it can just be blamed on the virus or the lack of manufacturing.
So I think,
that's what I was saying.
We have inventory. I think sales are going to slow down. There's a whole credit aspect of this situation as well. You know, what's going to happen when banks start repossessing or credit, credit or GM credit when they start repossessing cars for non-payment of loans. Ford has already announced, for instance, that they are for people who have just purchased a Ford through Ford Credit, they are they're giving 3 months credit. And another 3 months can be
deferred payment.
Yeah, deferred.
Sort of a 6 month plan. When you see the ad on TV, I saw it last night, and those are going to be temporary. You know, it goes along with whether we're not certain classes of people are going to be given $1,000 or $2,000. Somebody said they'd raise the offer to $2,000 a person for people making under $75,000 a year. For anybody renting a house, let's not get to real estate. But anyways, that money will only go so far in alleviating people's severe crisis crunches, cash crunches, which is going to be obviously occurring across many lines.
I think there's going to be a big shakeup of the auto industry, and there certainly is going to be a trimming of the fat, and product lines are going to be trimmed down when we come out of this. And we will come out of this. I mean,
we're definitely going to come out of it.
You know, the bright side is I see that the Honda factory in Wuhan, China, where the whole COVID-19 virus started, is back up and running as of, I think, last week. And what has it been, 2 or 3 months since they were in the middle of the crisis?
They shut down, right? Hmm? Yeah, exactly. But the question is, and this will, it's not even a question. This will be interesting to see how it is restarted. I always go back to, and I'm sorry to be old, but I always go back to how much difficulty people had after 9/11 when the airports were shut, because their expectation was, Shazam, we can just go flying again. This is 19 years ago, and there wasn't a lot of understanding, you know, just under 18 and a half years ago, and there wasn't a ton of understanding about what it takes to get something back in, back to up to speed, let's just say.
Yeah.
And, you know, first Wuhan was shut down. Now they are coming back up. So the supply line will start. It's all connected.
That's a given that there's going to be a lot of delay in coming back online. You're going to have some of the automotive companies making safety products that are not automotive related as orders go out from the government to ramp up production for gloves and other items like that.
Well,
much has happened in World War II and other times.
And it's interesting to see that, you know, I'm curious to see how that's going to work out and how quickly we're going to get, for instance, GM suppliers are making a big push to manufacture ventilators. How long is that going to take to
ramp up?
To ramp up. Hopefully, pretty quickly. Interestingly, in the world of motorsports, and I'll get to that on a little bright side in a minute or two. But sanctioning bodies have canceled big professional races for the foreseeable future, and Formula One has canceled their first few races until May or June for sure. But the Formula One manufacturers, which are primarily based in the UK, have gotten together and have offered to work with the British government to produce ventilators. And believe me, nobody brings product to market faster than Formula One teams. They have the engineering and the production capability of putting out product in a matter of days.
And what is really interesting is there is, and I do keep saying it, there is opportunity for resourcefulness. And we do have groups out there, just F1, for example, that are incredible. The whole basis of it is, hey, here's this. Now, how can we make this better, different, faster, this or that or that? You know, there are places that are designed for that, just as there are places that are designed for follow this step and then follow the next step and then follow the next step and, you know, plodding along in a linear fashion. So there's every opportunity for the oddest people to do the oddest things well.
Yep.
And that can alter and that can affect things.
So on a bright side and a bright note in the world of motorsports, and for those of you who know this, I am very much involved with virtual racing, and interestingly, this weekend, IMSA, which is the sanctioning body that comes to Lime Rock typically on Memorial Weekend, held a 90-minute race with pro drivers, an online race on the iRacing platform. It took place virtually at Sebring, and it was broadcast on YouTube. And yesterday, on Sunday, NASCAR did the same thing. They had a 100-lap race with current and past pro NASCAR drivers at Homestead, and it was broadcast live on the Fox Sports network. And it was a huge success. And it's a big push in the world of virtual racing. It was interesting. It was pretty exciting from where I stand.
Well, the question is, this going to be a norm for a while? It may well be the norm for a while. You've got
it may well be,
And that they can actually do it and broadcast it on Fox Sports is interesting, because it's probably as good as watching it a real race. Maybe is that how would you say it looked, Jay?
It looked pretty darn good. The graphics in iRacing have become incredible. The modeling of the cars and the physics is incredible. So the cars really move on track like they move in real life. And if you are looking, if you don't look too closely at the cockpit and you see that there's, you know, the helmets are not moving, you know, and the people in the grandstands are not moving, it is hard to tell the difference.
What happens in accidents and crashes?
Well, the crash modeling is being worked on, and they did have the option of having one reset, I think they had in the rules. So they could have an instant fix once during the race. So they could crash once. As NASCAR does in real life, the whole field would go under yellow, and the cars would pit, and the guys who had damage on their cars could hit the reset button and go out with a new car. But it was interesting that, you know, Denny Hamlin won the race and just inched out by like a couple inches, Dale Earnhardt Jr., who's an unconditional virtual racing fan.
So, quick question: I'm sorry to be,
quick.
Do people bet on it?
I don't know.
Okay, just curious.
This is not horse
quick
racing.
Answer,
but you know, could.
But it's virtual.
It is virtual.
I don't know. I just back in the day, you know, people in the options markets bet on how high a grasshopper would jump. So I just can't think that with other avenues, shall we say, shut down.
That's betting on everything. So maybe they'll figure that out if they don't have it figured out yet.
Just curious. All right. And Robin, what else do you want to broach?
Well, go back to my observations. I did a lot of driving over this weekend, and of course, I don't know whether or not.
Aren't you supposed to be shut down?
Driving what?
I said, aren't you supposed to be shut down?
No, I don't think I'm not supposed to be shut down. But I, like a lot of people, had
Robin
to go out
essential.
And do some shopping for food. So you're not shut down to do that kind of thing. So, but the parking lots were nicely available in some of the big supermarket stores where they're usually jam-packed, even though jam-packed was also the way. I will tell you, Jill, that although the state's shutting down a lot tonight at 8 o'clock, I came by the Danbury Mall yesterday and everything was already shut down except maybe possibly any takeout food restaurants. And you could have had a Gymkhana, a car Gymkhana, where they use these big parking lots for car Gymkhana events occasionally by automotive manufacturers. You could have done that in the Danbury Mall parking lot without any effort of having to remove cars that might have been parked around there. It was so devoid of activity. And this was mid-afternoon yesterday, which was a Sunday, by the way, for listeners. And when malls of this type are usually open and packed with shoppers. And I don't think it was because the stores were open and the shoppers weren't there. I think the shops were already closed,
right?
The big shops down. So a lot of places have already closed down, even though more are going to be apparently affected by the 8 o'clock shutdown tonight. In any event, the traffic is still out there, and driving is cheap. So, Jay, let's talk about electric versus gasoline now. Is this going to put a stint in the electric car sales, which have been oncoming, in my opinion, at certain levels?
Good.
But with gasoline hovering in logical places around $2 a gallon, a little bit above, a little bit below, and may hold there for a little while, will this
no, I'll tell
because
you why.
Of electric
Remember,
car costs keep them from being
product lines?
Appropriate?
Streamlined product lines. What manufacturer has the most streamlined product line?
Tesla.
Thank you.
Yep, I know. And Teslas are all over Fairfield County. More and more are showing up in Northwest Connecticut Corner, and mostly the Model 3s. And they've got their act together, and they are going to be. Oh, and in that man, let me sidetrack to the
You've
car driver issue, which I don't know what month it is, but they had the world's first Tesla's real test against the Porsche Taycan, and. You know, it's a very complicated way car driver does their test, Jay, and I know you know this. But they came out with the final results, and the Model S outpointed the Porsche Taycan 211 to 199. And I think the Taycan was faster in the acceleration thing by less than a second, and that does not indeed make a big difference to make the Taycan ahead of the Tesla. But it was impressive that the Tesla Model S
Jay,
came out
your
ahead.
Response, 40 seconds, sir.
These 0 to 60 times mean nothing anymore because
That's
anytime
right.
you're doing 0 to 60 in less than 3 seconds, it physically hurts. It hurts your head that bangs against the seat. It hurts your guts that are being pushed into your backside. It hurts your wrists on the steering wheel. It just makes absolutely no sense. So I think there's a place for the Taycan, and Tesla will keep its share of the market, and the next big thing for Tesla is the Model Y, whenever they can get back into producing them. Anyway, that's
to be continued
for another time.
He is Robin Leach. He is Jay DeMarkin. This is Car Keys.